Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, this is going to be a fantastic segment. Please join me in welcoming CEO and co-founder with Ostendio, Mr. Grant Elliott. How are you, man?
I'm good, thank you. Very, very happy to be here this afternoon.
Well, Grant, can you talk about Ostendio for a bit? Tell us how you're serving folks.
Sure, yeah. So Ostendio has been around for about 4 years. We are an information security and risk management platform. We help organizations who are managing their entire cybersecurity framework to ensure that not only can they understand the pathway to developing a program, but they have a very simple mechanism to manage it. And more importantly, when they have to demonstrate that to various stakeholders, it can be their board, it can be the government, it can be auditors, they can actually demonstrate against specific set of standards and regulations that they're doing what they say they do.
Now, this kind of work is in the news, it seems like, almost every day now. Is this something that is just built-in problem for businesses nowadays?
I think any organization today, if they're not thinking about cybersecurity, then they're really opening themselves up to bad news. I think there's going to be something like $80 billion has been spent in the last year on cybersecurity. They're forecasting about $1 trillion to be spent over the next 5 years. Now, a lot of that is spent in what I call the top 10% of companies, some of the large banking infrastructure, financial segments, healthcare organizations. And, as we know, that the vast majority of businesses are much smaller than that. But absolutely, it doesn't matter whether you're a small business or a large business. If this is not part of your budget line item, if this is not something that you're dedicating some time to, you're simply asking for trouble.
Now, when you're talking about cybersecurity, what are some of the types of problems that are affecting businesses of all sizes?
Well, probably the one that I think most recent in people's mind is ransomware. And the interesting thing about ransomware generally is a kind of game changer, in the sense that historically companies, especially smaller organizations, have kind of taken what we call the protection of the herd mentality. So if you're a large financial institution, you know you're a target, right? You get high network data, you know that people are going to come looking for you. And so for as long as there's been technology, some of these larger institutions have been investing in securing their infrastructure. And that's obviously been an arms race with the hackers. Why ransomware changes the game is because, whereas previously hackers would go after some sort of target, they would identify companies that they wanted something. It can be ethical hacking, it can be to try and obtain something of value. But ransomware is much more random, much more scanning the internet for vulnerabilities. And so they're really not specifically targeting anyone. So you can be a small organization and you just happen to be running an old version of some sort of OS, and you're going to get caught up in the ransomware attack. And I think that's why today, more than ever, every organization, regardless of size, really needs to be paying attention to this.
Now, when you're saying ransomware, can you talk about, what does that mean and how would it impact a company?
Yes, that's a great question. So, I think most people have probably come across this in the news recently, but effectively ransomware is where someone is able to take control of your services or your data and won't release it without you actually paying some sort of form of compensation or ransom. They'll typically encrypt it with an encryption key, and they won't actually send you the encryption key until such times as you actually pay that ransom. And more recently, those ransoms are being paid through things like Bitcoin, which make it difficult for you to kind of track the culprit and easier for payments to be made. And that obviously means that the exploit can be conducted from afar and is much harder for the authorities to identify who actually perpetrated it. Some of the recent ones, like WannaCry, that happened recently, have really affected major systems around the world. And we obviously hear in the news of the larger systems. What we don't hear about is a lot of the smaller ones that are impacting it as well.
Now, so what physically happens? Like, I'm on my computer at work, and all of a sudden it says, gotcha, you pay me 500 bucks before midnight or else I'm going to, you know, delete all your stuff?
Basically, in many cases, yes. I mean, it can be even scarier than that. I mean, there's obviously different versions of it, but effectively, yes, you'll try and log into your computer and you just get a screen coming up of a different versions of different types of screens. Some of them even have a countdown that basically say, look, if you don't do it within a certain period of time, if you don't pay this money, then we're going to delete your data or the money's going to go up or some variant of that. And they're clever most of the time because they don't typically ask for a huge amount of money. You know, it can be, you know, anything for a few hundreds, a few thousand dollars. They're not asking, you know, it's not like they're asking for $1 million here. But because they can do this with so many machines and so many people panic, a lot of people will actually pay. And so it becomes a very profitable service, especially now that, and I think this is the scarier thing, is that it's not just that these are, you know, highly sophisticated cyber criminals that are doing this. I mean, you can basically find kits to do this yourself on the dark web. So, you know, people have actually put out there on the open internet, this is how you go about creating your own, you know, ransomware attack. And so, you know, even kind of amateur hackers can go on and do this and generate some form of attack. I wouldn't encourage anyone to do it, obviously, but what the lesson to the rest of us is, this is not a highly sophisticated thing for people to do. So that's why we're going to see more and more of it. We hear, for the most part, the ones that kind of really perpetuate and get in the news, but there's lots of, you know, lots of smaller versions of this happening all the time.
Now, what is the like, what should someone do if this happens? Should they just turn off their computer and pretend it didn't happen? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, that's good. So like most things, you know, basically how to manage ransomware is a combination of prevention as well as, you know, immediate steps following after. I mean, let's focus a little bit on prevention. I mean, first of all, you need to make sure that, you know, you understand how ransomware affects you. And a lot of the time it's through people downloading illicit files, opening files that they shouldn't, clicking on links that they shouldn't click on. So effective training, specifically phishing training, can you know, really help an organization reduce the likelihood of that. But also making sure that, you know, the way that they've configured their network, that, you know, they're not exposing all their data at one time. So there are a number of things that organizations can do proactively. Probably the most important thing is making sure that you're doing regular backups. Because again, if someone locks you out of your current data set, that's less of an issue for you if you have a backup from the previous day that you can simply just unplug everything, switch everything off, you know, reboot and re-clean. You know, obviously, you know, make sure you've got someone who's technically sophisticated that understands how to basically rebuild your OS for you. And then you can restore the backup. If you don't have backups, then clearly that's a problem because, you know, the only way you can really resolve the problem is by, you know, wiping your hard disk. And it's very difficult for you to clearly get that data back again if you do that. So, again, make sure you're doing regular backups. Make sure you're doing regular training. Make sure that you're segmenting and understanding what data is, that you know where the data is. And then, you know, make sure that your employees and your staff understand if something does happen, then absolutely have immediate steps that they should be taking the moment someone discovers it.
Now, to me, if you pay, that you're not solving the problem. I mean, you might be solving the problem for that minute, but like they can do the same thing tomorrow.
Well, even worse than that, I mean, you've got no guarantee that they're going to give you the encryption key, that they're going to give you data. So,
right.
Look, I think, you know, when they've kind of looked at this, for the most part, I mean, generally speaking, I think most of the what we consider to be serious hackers understand that this is a business and understand that they want to create an environment where people think paying is the right thing to do. So for the most part, people do generally get their data back if they do actually pay. That's not to say that that should really be the right thing to do. I agree, because A, there's no guarantee you're going to get your data back. And secondly, even if you do, then you've just basically profiled yourself as someone who's willing to pay. So, you know, you're going to be a target, you know, for the next attacker that comes along, or even the same attacker a month later.
Now, so that's one aspect of cybersecurity. And you mentioned that there's things that the employee can do. Is it typically that the problem is human-oriented, or is it software-oriented, that you didn't do something to your computer properly that let someone in, or is it that a human has done something dumb?
Yeah, so I like to say that the problem generally is data orientated, and there's a number of ways that that data potentially becomes exploited. So if you think about what are you trying to do with cybersecurity, Well, first of all, you need to understand, you know, what are you protecting, and, you know, what is the data you're protecting, and your data has different levels of value, right? You know, your financial information is clearly more valuable than maybe the marketing material you have on your website. You know, your software code is more valuable than and maybe some of your internal processes. So understanding the value of the data that you have is really, really important. And more importantly, where is that data, right? If you don't understand how data is moving through your organization or in or out of your organization, it becomes very difficult for you to protect that data. So step one, know what data you have, know the value and structure of that data. But then you need to understand, okay, well, who has access to that data? Again, do all my employees need to have access? I mean, clearly, you know, I think most people would understand that, you know, if you're a part of an organization, you don't expect everyone to have access to the company's bank account. But for some reason, we take other sensitive data like health information or our more valuable corporate data and seem to give everyone access to it, either through Google Drive or Dropbox or whatever, and we don't apply appropriate permission. So understanding who has access to what data is critically important as well. Understanding how they're using that data, again, you know, you want to make sure that people understand their responsibilities. There's nothing worse than, you know, someone saying that they put your valuable data on the internet for everyone to see. And when you ask them, why did they do that? And you say, well, you didn't ever tell me that I wasn't able to. And that can become a problem too as well. And then the kind of last thing then comes down to what you were mentioned is, well, how do I then protect this data? What mechanisms and tools they use to do all of this? And it's interesting, that's where technology comes in. And the reason I kind of mention it in that order is because when you talk to lots of people, they immediately think of cybersecurity as being a technical issue. Very often in an organization, it's the IT person that's given the responsibility, because technical tools tend in many ways to be the mechanisms to actually provide much of this protection. But the reality is it's actually a data issue. And, you know, obviously humans are involved in that process, and very often humans are the ones that are going to be making a lot of the decisions around that technology. But technology for me really is kind of as a means to an end rather than, you know, where the problem starts.
Now, is there certain industries that have to pay more attention than others? Like, I know it makes sense, obviously, financial services and healthcare, you know, have to be super duper secure in this as opposed to, you know, like your dry cleaner, even though they might have, you know, people's credit card numbers, but, you know, the data that they have maybe isn't as, you know, kind of valuable as the bank.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about today is really when you think about where data exists, you know, it really is less about industry segments per se, and more about, you know, if you think about, we've moved to a much more heterogeneous environment where people are completely dependent on various different vendors. So just take your dry cleaning example today. I mean, most of the time now, a dry cleaner doesn't necessarily have your credit card information because they're using a third-party payment provider. So they're basically swiping, and that third-party payment provider actually has access to the credit card information, and the dry cleaner themselves is protected to some degree because they don't have direct access. But then who's securing that third-party payment provider? Have you selected one that's robust and secure? And increasingly, businesses today, from very large businesses to obviously small businesses, rely more and more on third parties to provide the services. So it doesn't really matter whether you're in healthcare, or whether you're in finance, or whether you're in critical infrastructure, retail, or wherever. Obviously, those industries themselves carry their own level of point of attack, but they're also being supplied by many other cross-industry organizations as well. So it's not just important to understand, is my industry specifically maintaining and carrying value data, but also who are my suppliers within that industry, because they can be going across multiple industries, and how much of that data are they carrying?
Now, for your firm, do you have niches that you specialize in, or you're helping businesses across the board?
We help businesses across the board, although we have definitely developed a kind of a strong practice in healthcare. Many of our customers are in that space. And that's because, you know, again, healthcare is one of those industries that kind of hit the kind of cross-section in terms of it has valuable data and has a pretty immature and legacy infrastructure. So it's really playing catch-up to many other industries, which is kind of surprising in many ways, given the value of the data. But, you know, part of that is down to, you know, what's forcing people to protect data. And, you know, people are very concerned about their financial information. People would not put their money in a bank that had a history of breaches. Believe it or not, people will still go to a hospital that has a history of breaches because they see healthcare and data security really is going to be two separate things. And that's not to say that if you weren't to survey, people would be concerned. Of course they would. But, you know, when you need to be treated, when you have a condition of some sort, you know, data security is not top of your mind at that point. Whereas when you're selecting a bank, it would be.
Right. Like when you're going to the hospital and you're having a heart attack, you're not kind of caring about their cybersecurity at that moment in time.
Exactly. You have my data, whatever data you need to save.
So now for you, this seems like it's, you have a lot of job security because this seems like it's a problem that's not going away anytime soon. How do you guys stay up to date and on top of all this stuff? Because I think people don't really understand that the bad guys, this is their job. Like this is what they're thinking about 24/7 is how to breach and how to get into things. And this could be a business for them. It could be the government's business. It could be a lot of people's business. And they're working on this all the time. How do you kind of stay ahead of them?
Well, I think it's a real challenge in terms of understanding where this where the technology is going. Now, I think really most people would basically say this is kind of an arms race between the bad guys and the good guys in terms of the technology that's been developed to protect data and the tools and capabilities that cyber criminals are deploying in order to get it. It's important to understand that whilst there's a lot more in the news about this and whilst it is becoming increasingly more sophisticated and certainly more challenging, and you know, we certainly, I think, see that when exploits happen, they tend to happen in much larger numbers than maybe we've seen before. But that's more an evolution of the way that we are moving to a digital world than it is necessarily about this kind of cat and mouse game between criminals and good guys. There are a lot of really great things that are happening with technology that are making it easier and simpler for any organization to protect data. You know, 5-6 years ago, if you were looking to encrypt your laptop, or a business who's looking to encrypt all the desktops within their organization, that was quite an expense and quite an ordeal. Today, a lot of that encryption comes free as part of a Windows 10 environment. So there are lots of things today, and I'm old enough to remember when you had to pay VeriSign, like, you know, over $1,000 for an SSL certificate for one website. And, you know, now you can, you know, pick up SSL, you know, really, really cheap, and it meets the same level of security. So the ability for businesses today to build in security from day one has never been easier. Now, that said, the sophistication of the cyber criminals, you know, obviously are maturing as well. So this is going to be an ongoing arms race. And you're seeing that with the types of gaps that are happening in the market. I mean, I think at the moment, a survey was conducted recently where they said that there's about 1.5 million cybersecurity jobs predicted to be available within 2019. So I can definitely tell you, my recommendation to my kids is, you know, if you're really looking for an area to go in that's not going anywhere soon, cybersecurity for sure has to be in that area. But the converse side to that we see talking to organizations all the time is there's still too many organizations that simply don't take it seriously enough. And we talk to many organizations that don't even put in basic blocking and tackling within the organization. And I think, you know, as I mentioned, you know, earlier with ransomware, that really is just asking for trouble because, again, they're going to become a victim of an attack at some point. So trying to encourage organizations to do more is really important. It's not easy. It's not as simple as just, you know, waking up and, you know, putting an SSL certificate on a server anymore. They have to work hard on training their staff. They have to work hard on policies, procedures, making sure everyone's on board. But there are things that organizations can and should be doing, and they definitely should be doing more of them.
So now when you're working with a company, are they typically coming to you after something bad has occurred?
Not necessarily. I mean, for sure, that definitely does happen. And it's interesting because that's really not the time that analogy I like to use is that's like going to the supermarket when you've not eaten for a day. Right? It's not a good time to go shopping for cybersecurity solutions. A lot of the time we'll talk to companies who are maybe trying to close a major account with a company that's putting them through an audit, or maybe they've been told by one or many of the customers that they have to meet a specific standard like SOC 2 or HITRUST or ISO 27001, and then they need help meeting and maintaining that compliance. For sure, we definitely try and talk and work with companies who are motivated to do something. Very often when we talk to people or organizations who just want to do it because they think it's the right thing to do, a lot of the times, once they understand and realize what's involved in doing it, they're very quickly dissuaded, and it's much easier to say that they're doing it rather than, you know, the analogy there I like to use is, you know, going down the gym, right? You know, lots of people have gym memberships and lots of people say they work out, but if you were actually to quiz them as to how hard they actually worked out, you find that not many people do. And I used to always say that you can always tell an organization whether they're secure or not, because if you ask the CEO of an organization, you know, how good is his security program, he'll basically point you to his sister or his security expert. And that's almost like, you know, basically saying, you know, asking someone how fit are you, and that you point them to your physical instructor and say, look, he's doing it all for me. So, you know, everyone needs to be involved in this across the board. And I think fundamentally, you know, businesses need to take this more seriously than they actually are, which is kind of a problem we're seeing. And when we see that happening, typically tends to be because they've got a customer opportunity in front of them, or because they're going through some sort of external audit, rather than just because they've, you know, they've heard a news item one day and they got a bit scared and they put something in place.
So now, as part of your go-to-market strategy, are you speaking at conferences? How are you getting the word out about the good work you guys are up to?
So we're very lucky that we get a lot from referral. So we work a lot. I mean, we're a platform organization. So although we do some consultancy, most of what we do is try and automate it. Our whole objective is to try and make this more affordable, make this simpler and easier for any organization. You know, in the same way, for example, like Salesforce makes it easier to sell because it provides structure, process, and data to allow a more informed decision making. Our platform kind of works very similar to that. So we have a lot of customers who are able to refer us to other organizations or vendors or partners that they work with. We create a lot of content, again, to try and provide a kind of thought leadership position within the market, talking about how to do this. And we do the usual kind of social media and the usual. We've not done historically a lot of big events, and just because we've not found them overly efficient and we're not the largest organization. But we definitely seem to be getting enough work in coming in from the referrals and from the social media and the kind of marketing communications, what we're doing right now.
Now, what types of companies make good referrers to you?
So, I mean, customers that will, customers that use our platform, they will basically be talking to someone somewhere and be asked the question, how are you managing this? And so they'll simply refer to us. And you know, we'll get that in. Some of the partners that we already work with, so we work with security consultants, we work with managed service providers who already implement our solution into their customers. And so they will obviously, as they are selling, they will basically refer other organizations to us as well. And then some of the ancillary services that we provide, like, you know, penetration testing, risk assessments, we provide those through partners. And often those partners will refer customers to us as well.
So now, if somebody wanted to learn more, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, again, the best way to learn more about the organization is come to our website. It's ostendio.com, ostendio.com. And again, if anyone wanted to contact me, I mean, just send an email into the contact information on the website, and we'd be more than happy to get in touch with them.
Well, Grant Elliott, CEO and co-founder of Ostendio, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Thanks for scaring me a little bit, but you know, I think it's healthy. I mean, we got to take this thing more seriously, even those of us running small and medium-sized businesses, just like the large concerns. This is not something we can put our hand in the sand about anymore, is it?
Absolutely not. And the positive side of that is, though, that the stuff that you want to do to basically improve your cybersecurity are things that are going to help you improve your business generally as well. You know, training staff, better documentation, etc. So don't look at this as just a bad thing. This is just another investment in your business, but it's a good investment.
That is excellent counsel. Well, thank you so much. It has been an absolute delight having you on the show.
Thank you as well. I've enjoyed it.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest today, CEO and co-founder with Ostendio, Mr. Grant Elliott, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.